Hello, and welcome to The Unconventional Gal, Forging Your Own Path. I am your host, Cherry Dollface, and I'm very, very excited. This is my first podcast ever. I have been in front of a camera on YouTube for almost a decade now, so I have to tell you, sitting here in my bed, not done up. I actually am done up because I filmed a video today, but not having to be done up. My lipstick is probably all over my face, and it doesn't even matter. You guys don't know. Well, you do know now because I told you. Anyways, welcome to my first podcast. I'm very excited about this. I think a lot of people expected me to do a podcast somehow related to the vintage world or beauty or pinup, but this is something a little bit different. This podcast is going to be all about people that live unconventional lives, whatever that may look like. The topics are going to range all over the place. I had so many people that want me to talk about kids, whether to have them or not, and I'm excited for that one. We're going to talk about what even is considered unconventional. We're going to talk about traveling alone, being a businesswoman, having tattoos or body mods, fitting into subcultures, whether you need to go to school or not. We are going to talk about a lot of things in this podcast, so definitely subscribe to this podcast. Please give me some ratings. This is my first podcast, so I don't have any yet. I mean, who knows? Maybe by the time you're listening to this, I will have a couple. Hopefully they are 5 stars, but I would love, love, love to get your ratings so that I can get up there and get my voice heard by the masses, I guess, if anybody even wants to hear me prattle away. So today's show, we are going to be doing 2 segments. The first segment, I'm just going to introduce myself. Who the heck am I and why do I need to talk about being an unconventional gal? And in my second segment, we're going to talk about finding your passion because I feel like that's kind of the basis of being unconventional to start with. Who am I? My name is Cherry Dollface. My name actually isn't Cherry Dollface. That would be a pretty amazing name. My name is Cherokee. I'm just kind of a weirdo. I mean, I guess as much of a weirdo as we all are, which is probably why you guys are watching this. So hi, we're all weird together. We're all in the unconventional club. How most people know me is from pinup modeling. If you Google Cherry Dollface, you're going to come up with a bunch of very vintagey, cutesy looking photos. I started pinup modeling in 2004, but I always was really into sort of an unconventional life. I came from the punk scene and the ska scene. I was the weirdo in high school that would wear like a prom gown and a leather jacket to school. I was also really smart. So I was in all of the elevated classes. So I kind of didn't fit in the punk crowd because I was smart, but I didn't fit in with the smart crowd because I was a punk. So I never really fit in, but I forged my own path, which is really what this podcast is about. So back to my pinup modeling, which is how probably most of you know me that are listening to this. Started pinup modeling, went to business school, decided to move to LA in 2008. And when I moved here, I was, this is really embarrassing and it ages me, but I know a lot of you probably remember me from LiveJournal, which was a long time ago, but where Cherry Dollface really started was MySpace. So after MySpace, I went to Facebook. After Facebook, I went to Instagram. And I had a friend down here when I moved to LA that was like, hey, you should start a YouTube channel. And I was like, YouTube? That's for like viral cat videos and how to change a tire. Beauty wasn't really big yet on YouTube and I didn't really know where my corner would be. So I would get people all the time asking me how I did my hair and makeup because I did my own for shoots because there wasn't really anyone, you know, that did it in Portland when I lived there. So I was like, you know what? This will be useful. When people ask me, I can just send them to my YouTube channel. So I started my YouTube channel just with a couple hair and makeup tutorials. And I was really one of the first. Lisa Fremont Street was the first. I have to give her credit. And there were maybe a few other people doing it I don't really know of. But I was the first that kind of got a big following doing vintage styling on YouTube. I really didn't have an idea that was miraculously better than anybody else's. I just happened to be ahead of the curve. So I started my YouTube channel. It kind of exploded unbeknownst to me. I was not trying to be a YouTuber. I wasn't trying to make a career out of it. There wasn't really a career in YouTube at that point. So I was working on Warped Tour. And when I was home, I was doing film production. I was a film coordinator. And it just kind of fell in my lap, the touring thing. Somebody asked me to teach a class at a makeup school. I did. And then I thought, you know what? I can do makeup. I could teach a hair class, did that. And I was working with my friend Nikki, Miss Nikki Napalm. She was doing makeup, I was doing hair. And then I thought, you know, I can just travel and do both. And so I did. And I did my first Midwest tour. I did Chicago and Kansas City, and it was amazing. And then people started asking me to come to their cities. And then I went to Australia, and then I went to England, and then I went to Belgium, and then I went to Switzerland. I went all over the place. So I spent the last 7 years of my life traveling the world. Like I said, I went to business school. So for me, it was always a matter of making my passion into something I could sustain. So that's what we're going to talk about in our second segment. I'm just selfishly and narcissistically talking all about me right now. After traveling for many, many years, I am old. I'm 38, you guys. 38 is not a spring chicken, and I'm tired. So I decided it was time to chill with the traveling. I also have a lovely boyfriend, Mr. James, who you will hear probably a lot about in these podcasts because him and I have been quarantined together for 6 months, and he's the only frame of reference I have in another human being's. I actually like him, and I like being home with him, and we're talking about buying a house. So in the fall of last year, I actually went to esthetician school to get my esthetician license, and I'm kind of swiveling my business again into skincare. I have a studio space now in Hollywood. Not in Hollywood at all. It's in Glendale. I don't know why I said Hollywood. I host a live show from the Bourbon Room in Hollywood, and I think I'm just used to saying Hollywood. So there you go, Freudian slip. I don't even think that's Freudian either. This podcast is off to a great start. So that is kind of the history of me. But along the way, I have lived a pretty unconventional life. I've been married and divorced twice. I do not have children. I've traveled alone all over the world. I've created many businesses. I also have a vintage clothing store. I've also published 2 books. One is an award-winning book, which I feel so douchey saying that I'm an award-winning author. But I guess technically I am, which is pretty cool, actually. I hate to toot my own horn about my accomplishments. But then sometimes I think, why the hell not? I worked really hard for those accomplishments. I should be proud of them. And you guys should be proud of your accomplishments too. I think that's the major thing with women is that we feel like if we're proud of what we've done, then that makes us cocky or self-centered or vain. But we work to get what we have for a reason, and we should be able to celebrate that. Anyways, that is my background. So the way this show is going to work is I'm going to do 2 segments. So I have to give credit where credit is due. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. I haven't really been a fan of podcasts until recently. And just with the quarantine and spending a lot of time alone, I've started listening to a bunch of them. So I was trying to figure out, how do I sort of format this show? And I listened to this gal that is the funniest gal in the world. Her podcast is Esthetician on the Edge. I have no idea what her actual name is, but she's hilarious and Southern and great. And she is kind of what inspired me to format my podcast this way. So basically, I'm going to do my little intro. We'll do 1 segment. We'll take some listener stories. We will do another segment. And then I'll take some questions from the week. And then we will wrap up. If you guys have an idea for a sort of wrap-up segment, something I can do in every podcast, I would be totally up for ideas. I actually have a Patreon page right now. It is called The Unconventional Gal, Forging Your Own Path with Cherry Dollface. So if anybody wants to join my Patreon, you can vote on my podcast topics, which I know you guys, it's very exciting. But there's all kinds of other stuff in there too. I'll take Polaroids for you guys. I'll do vintage hair and makeup tutorials live, Q&As, all kinds of stuff. But anyways, back to the matter at hand. Because this is my first show, I had to explain to you how this all works. Right now, I'm going to tell you guys some stories. So usually, obviously, my segments are not just about me as a human, but because this segment is the first one, it is unique. Who am I? I ask my followers on Instagram stories because it's the best way to get questions answered. If you guys want to submit questions and all of that for this podcast, please follow me on Instagram. It is @thecherrydollface, @thecherrydollface. That is where I put in my stories most of my submit your question and your stories business. But anyways, I just have a couple of stories from people that have met me either on my tours or at events. So the first one is from Mr. Devin Newby. Him and his wife are just the sweetest too, and they are in Portland. Actually, they're outside of Portland, but I met them in Portland. So his story is, first time we met was at a hair and makeup class that I bought for my wife that was unfortunately rescheduled due to inclement weather. I had a total fanboy moment in my head as we walked into the room where you were set up. My wife had the most amazing time, and I looked like a total goober in the back of the room. We still talk about it all the time. This is actually funny. My following is like 90% female. I rarely have dudes follow me. I don't have creepy guys, which actually is pretty great. And the guys that follow me mostly are, like in this situation, husbands and boyfriends of females that follow me that just have caught on to my content. Most of the time they're like, oh, your videos are funny. I just listen to them when my wife is watching them. So they don't really give a crap about my content. They just think I'm funny, which, hey, thanks very much. So thanks, Devin. So my next story is from Miss Elizabeth J. Pinup Photography, Miss Liz Jerry. She is my Kiwi mom, I call her. She is in New Zealand. So this is not his at all. This is her story. I had never met you until you came through the airport doors in Auckland and didn't really know too much about you, to be honest. But within minutes, I knew I liked you and coming to our chilly city in the middle of winter. I wanted to make sure you were comfy and warm and well-rested. We spent the next few days, let me back up here real fast. She had set up her guest room and she had a heating blanket in my bed that she turned on for me every time I came home. She made me homemade pumpkin soup when I woke up from my nap. And like every time I walked out of my room, there was like fresh baked bread or brownies. That is why I call her my Kiwi mom, because she literally like adopted me. Well, she didn't literally adopt me. She non-literally adopted me, but she adopted me in my heart. We spent the next few days working together and I claimed you as my American daughter. My kids love you. And even though you never met Mike, her husband, the elf that baked in the night, he still refers to our spare room as Cherry's room. That's kind of the most miraculous thing about touring is the people that I get to meet and how people that were virtually strangers within a week become family and lifelong friends. So that is probably one thing I miss most about touring. Next one is from April Davis. Oh, by the way, everybody whose stories or Q&As I answer in my podcast, their Instagram or Facebook or whatever handles will be in the description of the podcast. So everybody will be credited. If there's anybody I miss, please just send me a message. I don't want to miss any of you babes. Okay, back to April Davis. I first met you in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was going to welding school and you held a pinup hair and makeup class at Pinup by Liz. When I first walked into Liz's studio, my eyes were so big, my jaw dropped and I saw you. You saw me and said, "Oh my gosh, you look scared. Come here," and gave me a hug. I watched your videos all in high school and you inspired my pinup looks. You were awesome and I'm glad you're doing well and happy now. Even though I'm not welding as my career, you still inspire me to be my best self and do what makes me happy. Yay. So I have to say, with all of this quarantine and lockdowns and everything, the thing I miss the most is hugs. I love hugging you guys. I had a couple of makeup clients in my space in Glendale, not in Hollywood. And the weirdest thing was meeting them and saying goodbye to them and not being able to hug them. So that part sucks, but I am still excited to be able to meet you babes. And it makes me really happy when people say that I have inspired them in any small way, whether it's just in how they dress or, you know, forging their own path in life, whatever it may be. So yay, April. And also I do have to say, it is not uncommon that girls look terrified when they meet me, which kind of bums me out because I'm like, am I scary? I don't try to be scary. I really am the same person, the same human being in person as I am in my videos, on my page. I'm the same like sarcastic dickhead. So what you see, what you hear is what you get. There's no acting here. Cherry Dollface is not a character. Okay, so this last one actually makes me laugh because I remember this like it was yesterday. So Miss Greta says, I remember meeting you at the airport in Hamburg when you were flying to Brussels. You had to pay for excess baggage and I was the one behind the ticket desk. I was so incredibly excited but too shy to ask for a picture or a hug since we're actually not allowed to while we're working to not stress any customers. I still treasure that moment though because you were so nice. So here is my lesson of the day. Be nice to everyone. You never know who is on the other side of that counter or on the other end of the phone. I was so fuming pissed off that day. They charged me $100 extra for excessive baggage, and it was an airline that I had been flying through Europe on, and they hadn't charged me any other transfer. They just charged me this one, and I was so pissed off. But I'm not ever mean to customer service people because I know it's not their fault. So I was very nice to her. Thank God I was, because if I hadn't have been, then she would have gone and told all of her German friends that Cherry Dollface was an asshole. So there you go. Be nice to people. So let's go into my second segment today, and that is finding your passion. I have to tell you guys, so many people were asking me questions about finding your passion when I posted this in my Instagram story. So I think this is going to be an interesting little segment here. What do I mean when I talk about passion? I'm not actually necessarily talking about career. I'm really talking about what you love to do, whether it's a hobby, whether it's a career. It could be either. It could be both. I'm going to use my mom as an example. Sorry, mom. She's probably not listening to this, so it doesn't matter. My mom is in her mid-50s, and she has spent literally her entire life raising children. She had me as a teenager, and she adopted my nephew, who is now 11, so he's still a child. So she literally has been raising children for almost 40 years of her life. It's kind of all she knows. So she really doesn't have hobbies. I don't think she knows what her passion is, because she's never had time to figure it out. And I don't think that her story is very unique. I think it's actually very common. I don't know how many are listening from America versus other countries, but especially in the United States, we have such a focus on your career. What are you going to do to make money? What's your job? And I think between career and family and life responsibilities, a lot of people don't have time to figure out what their passion is. First of all, you have to figure out what your passion is, which can be a difficult thing in itself, but I just explain it as what makes your heart sing. And when I was talking about this, I was brainstorming this podcast with James, and he said they have to listen to their inner voice. And it's so true. I mean, I'm sure you're going to probably hear this in all my episodes, is I'm such a believer of listening to your gut, because your gut is like your brain's inner voice. I don't know why you call it your gut, because I don't know why your stomach would ever be giving you sound life advice other than feed me, I'm hungry. But we call it our gut, and we have those gut feelings, and whether it's about love or career or whatever it is, I feel like it is very important to listen to your gut. Listen to that inner voice. In listening to that inner voice, I think you just have to figure out, like, what do you gravitate to? What do you like? Do you gravitate towards high fashion? Do you gravitate towards collecting vintage things? Do you like to garden? Do you, like, what is it? If you had a week off, what would you, like, want to do? And it doesn't matter if you're good at it or not. It doesn't have to be something that you excel at. It's just kind of what piques your interest. Is it reading books? Would you spend a whole week just reading every book in the library? There's so many things that can be your passion. This was another thing that James and I talked about, and he brought this up that was a good point of finding your passion, is what do you gravitate to when you're bored? Like, when you're bored and you're like, ugh, there's nothing to do. Like, what is that one thing that you're like, oh, I'm going to do this? Like, his is video games. He is a gamer. He could play video games 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. I do not like video games. Mine is being busy and being crafty, and, you know, I have my own passion. So figuring out what you gravitate towards when you're bored is a good indicator of what your passion is. Eating doesn't count. I feel like eating is all of our passions. So once you figure out sort of, you know, what your passion is, or you get an inkling, or you start to feel that little curiosity, the internet is a great tool to find your people. I feel like that is the reason why I have the following I do, because people gravitate towards me that are also into vintage and pinup and travel and, you know, all the things that I post about. So you can find your cherry doll face for pretty much any avenue of what you're interested in. You just have to, you know, find your people. There's message boards, there's online communities, Facebook has them, there's groups. All you have to really do is Google. You could Google like underwater basket weaving, and I'm sure you would find thousands of people in the world that would share your interests. Another kind of like no duh moment is eliminate what you don't like. If you don't like doing it, it's not your passion. And I think a lot of people confuse passion with responsibility, and you think like, well, it's part of my job, or, you know, I have kids, so I should be interested in things related to kids. It's okay if you don't want to be interested in what your kids are doing, or if you want to have hobbies outside of being a parent. Newsflash, that's okay, because you're still a human. You are you first. I am Cherokee first and everything else second. Find what you don't like and then don't do that as your hobby or maybe your job. I know it's different for everybody. Also realize that your passions might change and evolve. We are evolving as humans. It's very common that people get married really young. You know, maybe have a kid at 18, get married, and then, you know, at 30, they get divorced because they've changed through their 20s. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's also nothing wrong with getting married at 18 and then being married until the day you die. We all have our own path, but I think relationships aside, we do really evolve. What we're interested in evolves. I don't want to go out to bars. Well, I can't because they're closed. But if they were open, I don't want to be in bars every night of the week or even every weekend. Now I'm more passionate about projects around the house and reading and doing puzzles with James. Like, my interests, even though, you know, the basis of who I am is the same, my interests and my passions have changed. I'm not as interested in doing my hair and makeup as I was before, because I'm older and I'm freaking boring. I gotta be honest. Being old sometimes is awesome and sometimes it's really boring, but that's okay. I like to sleep. I like naps. I think naps are my passion. Also, figure out what you're good at. That is a really good indicator of what your passion is. You know, not a lot of people have, especially Americans, don't have the ability to do whatever they want as their job, which we will talk about in future podcasts. But that doesn't mean that you can't find a passion that you're good at outside of your job. You might be a really amazing accountant, but you also might be really good at underwater basket weaving. So you can not necessarily be passionate about your job, but follow your passion other ways. A good example of this is me versus James. Him and I are both very smart in very different ways. He didn't finish high school, but he now is a really high paid audio engineer, and he now is working in streaming, and he's just one of those people that you could put anything technological in front of him and be like, you have an hour, do this thing. And he would figure it out in that hour. He can figure out computer programs. He can figure out how to take stuff apart and put it back together. We work at this venue, Bourbon Room, together. I'm hosting a show and he's the technical director there. And he figured out how to do the whole lighting system for the stage. He streams, he does the sound. He literally is like the one person behind all of these streams. I do not have that brain. I do not have a technical brain. It takes me a minute to figure that kind of stuff out. I have no interest in it. I am so lo-fi when it comes to all my YouTube videos. People always ask me, like, what do you use to record and what do you edit on? I use iMovie. I've used iMovie since iMovie started. I don't do anything different. I have no interest in editing. I do it because it's a necessity to get videos out. Same thing with technical stuff. Every time I need a new computer or something new, I buy an Apple because they're easy, they're user-friendly. I don't care. I am a business person. So for me, I'm all about the back end of stuff and numbers and analytics. And I'm also very creative. So it's, you know, how do I make this makeup and this hair thing into a business? I'm very business minded. I'm more book smart. So I graduated high school with honors and I went to college and I have 2 degrees. I went to college twice and then I went to trade school to be an esthetician. So I am good at school and not everybody is necessarily good at school, but that is what I'm good at. So that is what has made me a good business person. But just the moral of the story is figure out what you're good at. And, you know, I'm talking right now about work, but also that translates into each of our individual hobbies as well. I like to do fun arts and crafts, and I like to make projects for myself. So, you know, I have a vintage store online, but a lot of the reason I have that store is because I just like to do it. It's not like it makes me millions. It's a little bit of supplemental income, but I really love vintage clothing and I like listing and I like doing all that stuff. He loves playing video games, you know, so his technical brain is very connected to his hobbies, and my weird artsy business brain is also connected to my hobbies. I think also when we're talking about finding your passion when it comes to work is finding your corner in a larger industry. So, you know, you may not necessarily want to work in a cubicle or for like a big corporation, but they might have an awesome creative team. So maybe you are really good at marketing or really good at PR or really good at social media, and you might go work for a company where every employee there works in a cubicle. It doesn't mean you have to be the accountant. You can still have a creative job within a bigger company, especially if you need benefits and that stability is important to you. You can find your corner. So again, James and I were talking and he was saying how I would have him on as a guest, but he is not into being in the public eye at all. So I just have to tell his story for him and I hope I do it justice. But anyway, so he was telling me how when he started in the music industry, he just started as a tech because he got offered a tour and was like, yeah, sure, I get to tour around and get paid and party and fun. And he knew guitars well enough, so he was a guitar tech. But the thing is, to be a good guitar tech, you have to really be a good guitar player and you have to be really interested in guitars. A lot of guitar techs build guitars and live in that world. And he just didn't love that world. It wasn't his interest. But as he started touring, he started like seeing what the sound monitors were doing and what front of house was doing. And he's like, ooh, I kind of like the sound thing. So then he started taking gigs that he would do both, where he would do guitars and monitors. And then he worked himself up into being a pro audio engineer. So really all he was doing, like when he was working for Kesha, he sat on the side of the stage behind like 15 computers and he just made sure that all her playback stuff was going well. So it was a very different job in the same field. He wanted a tour. He wanted to be part of that world, but he just didn't want to be in the corner that he started in. It's the same, you know, I am in the beauty world. I was never interested in being a cosmetologist. I did not want to cut and color hair. It's not my interest, but I love working with people. So for me, you know, just doing the classes and doing YouTube and doing my own and doing just vintage was what interested me. So you don't necessarily have to like create something different, but you can find your own little corner. Be creative. In talking about hobby versus job, we talk about basically monetizing your passion if you want to figure out, you know, how to turn your passion into your job. So one cliche they say is that if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life, which I have to say yes and no. Beware of turning your hobby into your job. I think it really depends on what your passion is and what the job versus the hobby is. Cause like, you know, for someone like James, he likes video games and tech, but he also is very passionate about sound stuff and computers. So he really doesn't get burnt out on that. For someone like me, I get burnt out on hair and makeup. Not so much on clients, but definitely doing it on myself. Like when I was doing YouTube full time, I did it a little bit through quarantine, but I'm not doing it really anymore because I don't get joy out of it anymore. And I think if you rely on your hobby to make money and to put food on the table, you can become resentful of it. I used to co-own a hot rod shop with my ex, and I loved cars and I loved hot rods and I loved car shows and I loved that whole world. Now you couldn't pay me. Well, you could pay me. You actually could really pay me to go to a car show. But now, you know, unless I'm paid, I don't want to go to car shows. I got so burnt out on that whole scene from all those years being around hot rods. I don't give a shit about cars anymore. If I see a nice old car down the street, my first thought is like, oh, look at those crappy billet wheels and it's ugly. And like, it turned me into a weird car snob. And also I became resentful of it because what I loved became into what I needed and what was forced to do. So just beware of turning your hobby fully 100% into your job. And if you do that, find other hobbies outside of that. I kind of stepped away a little bit from the vintage world and stepped into different hobbies. Like now I really love to cook and I really love to do puzzles and I like to read and I like to travel for fun, not for work. So just be careful that you don't intertwine your passions between hobby and work too closely because burnout is very real. But you know what? If you do want to monetize your hobby and you're passionate about it, just look at how other people are doing it and making a living from it and just try to figure out your own way to do it. You know, obviously, if you're passionate about PR, go work for a PR firm. Like that's kind of a no-brainer. Or if you're passionate about building cars, go be a mechanic. But if you're passionate about something and you want to turn it into your sort of your own career, just look at what other people are doing. And I'm not saying copy. I'm not saying follow in someone else's footsteps. But you know what? Nobody's recreating the wheel or inventing fire. There's probably a job that already exists in a field that you are interested in. Enough rambling. I'm going to get to my questions. So my first question is from from Kaylin Summer. Not a question, but I wanted to share my story about how I found my passion, which I think this isn't a question, like she said, but I think this is very important for people to hear. It was a total accident. I was working a factory job, which was making me a lot of money, but wasn't satisfying my creativity. Work started to get scarce. At the end, I had to survive on 1 week's salary for an entire month, and it went like that for 6 months until I got a job at a flower shop. At that time, it was just to have something until I found something better. I had no idea that creating flower arrangements was pretty similar to the things I'd learned when I went to school for interior design, which I found out is a hard field to get into unless you work in retail. But I didn't want to sell, I wanted to design. Going on my third year at my job, and I'm so happy there. I look forward to going to work. I don't mind taking extra shifts or working overtime, and I notice I appreciate flowers a lot more in my personal life away from work. So there you go. If you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. That is a perfect example that she was in a job that she hated, and you know, she kind of got forced into doing something different because of the job scarcity, but she just figured out a new direction and she took the skills she had from her education and she turned it into a career she loves. So I love that. Thank you, Kaylin. Okay, actual question. Panda Rao says, advice for seeking out a passion or switching jobs at any point in life. So I think I already gave a lot of advice about seeking out your passion, but as far as switching jobs at any point in life, I think it really depends on who you are and what your life is all about. So for someone like me, I rent a house, I don't have kids, I have really no strings. If I make a big leap in life, there's not a lot of stuff riding on it. If you have a bunch of kids and a mortgage and 5 cars, and I mean, even if you just have a kid, I think kids definitely make it a little bit different when it comes to switching jobs. And I think, you know, a lot of people understand that. But I also think a lot of people use it as an excuse because they're scared. And I totally get it. Switching jobs is fucking terrifying when you are older. I had a meeting with a producer when I was working at a camera house full time and I had full benefits and it was a 9-to-5 and I wanted to get into film production, and film production was freelance. So I was going to lose my benefits and lose the security of a job because it was freelance. So I just had to hope and pray that someone was going to hire me. But I had a meeting with this producer and she said something that stuck with me for the rest of my life. And she said, the universe will always catch you. She said, make the jump. The universe will always catch you. It might not be in the way you wanted or you expected, but you're going to be on whatever path was meant for you. And it doesn't have to be a big leap. You don't have to quit your job tomorrow to like sell friendship bracelets. But even just making little leaps in life makes you realize what you do and don't want to do versus just sort of dead walking through your life and doing what you think you should do or doing what you think is the responsible thing to do. And like I said, when you have kids, you have to be a little bit more responsible, but you can still make leaps. And so I think my best advice on switching jobs at any point in life, especially later in life, is just being brave and just having faith in yourself to know that you can do it. You're going to be okay. You know, I moved to LA when I was, what was I, 26. I had $1,000 to my name and a car, and that was it. And I moved down here. I didn't have a job. I didn't have friends. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. And I definitely didn't ever expect I was going to be traveling the world and doing YouTube. I had no idea, but it worked. And you know what? If it hadn't of, worst case scenario is I pack up all my crap and move back to Portland and just keep doing what I was doing. So make the leap, even if they're baby leaps. Be brave. H. Shrogs wants to know, when did you realize you had found your passion? So I, you know what? I don't know if I've ever realized what my passion is. I think I'm one of those humans where I just keep evolving. My passion keeps changing. I'm passionate about travel. I'm passionate about food. I'm passionate about my boyfriend, because I mean, that's just base passion right there. I'm passionate still about collecting vintage clothes, but for me, realizing what my passion is has always just been what brings me joy. And I know it's like the Marie Kondo, we've all drunk the Kool-Aid. I'm not trying to like live with five items in my house, and it's not about stuff for me. It's about what makes me happy. If I wake up in the morning and go, this is going to be a good day, I have to know why. Why is it going to be a good day? Why am I looking forward to it? And if I wake up and go, oh, today's going to suck, why? What is it in that day that I don't enjoy, that I don't like? Obviously, if it's like a root canal day or like tax appointment day, like you can't really avoid that kind of stuff. But I think just figuring out like what makes you feel happiness, that is when you realize you found your passion. And last question of the day, Abigail Pennell wants to know, is there such thing as too much trial and error when trying to find your passion? I don't think there is such thing as too much trial and error. I think if you are relying on your passion for your income, there can be too much trial and error if you switch things around too much or you make too many bad investments in your future. I mean, I think that could potentially be too much trial and error. But if you're still having a good time and your bills are still getting paid, really, who cares? I think there's some people that tend to be creatures of habit and they just stick with what they like and that's fine and they just coast on that. I am not one of those people. I am very evolving. And so I do a lot of trial and error. I am a risk taker. I take a lot of risks in my personal life, in my professional life. That is what makes me happy and makes me tick. But the way I do it might not be right for somebody that is a more conservative risk taker. How you define too much trial and error really depends on you as a person, and only really you only know that for yourself. I think if you're worried about people's judgments, then I say fuck them, honestly. You know, I had a lot of people along the way tell me that nobody's going to take you seriously and you have too many tattoos, you're never going to get a job and can only travel for so long, or you can't travel alone. I had a lot of naysayers in what I was going to do, but I knew it was right for me and I took risks, and for me they paid off. And if I had have just listened to people saying, you know, you're taking too many risks or you're changing things too much. I got 2 degrees. I have my first degree in drug and alcohol counseling, second degree is in business, and then I have a graduation certificate in aesthetics. And those are all over the board. And you know what? I'm happy as hell and I'm doing pretty good. So I think the trial and error thing just really depends on what feels right for you. And I just say, don't listen to what other people have to say, except for me. Okay, you guys, I just did it. I did my first podcast. I'm really excited. I wasn't sure how long this was going to be, but I think it's coming in just the right time. So like I said in the beginning of this podcast, if you did like what you heard, please give me reviews. I don't have any yet. Who's going to be the first? I'm really excited for whoever's going to be my first review. I hope it's a 5-star. Please love me. I love you guys. Please also be honest. I love feedback as well. And if you have any private feedback, I would love any feedback you have or any future show ideas that are related to, you know, unconventional lifestyles. You can message me on Instagram or email me. My email is theonlycherrydollface@gmail.com. If you want to be a patron, if you want to get all those extra perks and see all my behind the scenes stuff and get a bunch of fun things mailed to you, please feel free. I have only started it to fund this podcast. As you can tell, I did not have any sponsors. So my sponsors are you. Yay. We're all in this together, folks. All right. I think those are the only plugs I have. If you are just finding me somehow through this podcast and don't know who the hell I am, you can find me at the Cherry Dollface on every social media known to man. I think I'm cherry.dollface on TikTok because some jerkwad took the Cherry Dollface before I got to it. So thanks to whoever did that. May you rot in hell. Just kidding. Just kidding. That's so mean. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this. I'm very excited for my next show. I don't know what it's going to be about. I guess we'll find out. I'm planning on doing these shows every other week, so please come back and find me again in 2 weeks. And that's all. Thank you for listening. You know what? I always wave at the end of my YouTube videos, and I'm waving like a maniac, but you guys can't see me wave. I need to think of a new sign-off. I haven't thought about that yet. If anybody has an interesting or unique way I can sign off my podcast, I'm open for suggestions. But for now, I'm just going to say, see you next time. Crap. Hear me next time. All right. Bye, guys.